and my wonderful friends. Welcome to Faith FM Drive Time. Welcome to Big Q&A. This is the show where we respond to difficult questions concerning God and faith, contemporary religion and the Bible. This is the show where we look at world religious trends in the light of Bible prophecy. I'm Pastor Gary and I'm your Drive Time host every Tuesday and Wednesday. It's so wonderful to be able to share with you once again this New Year's week. Yeah, this is the week that 2025 was going to become 2026. Can you believe it? Another year has just passed us by. Just two more sleeps until the fireworks blow the sky apart once again. I cannot believe that another year has in fact passed us by. Now, of course, this week, in the countdown to the new year, we're looking at that whole subject of New Year's resolutions. You're going to love this particular week. You know, I think there's no other week in the year where people make more resolutions starting to start again in so many different areas. And so today and yesterday and tomorrow, we're talking New Year's resolutions, but we're looking at different types of resolutions each day. And today, we want to look at the Bible and ask, does the Bible have anything to say about a better physical you? Now, if ever there's an area where there will be a host of New Year's resolutions, it's in this particular area. But does the Bible have anything to say about a better physical you? Not a better spiritual you, but a better physical you. Now, co-hosting our discussion today is going to be Pastor Marty Thompson. And Marty's an experienced pastor. He's an evangelist. He's a really good bloke. And he's also done some studies in lifestyle medicine. Hasn't concluded those studies, but I know this is an area where Marty has some genuine passion. Now, welcome to you, Marty.
Good to be here, Pastor Gary. Wow, this is a great subject again. I'm excited.
Oh, this we always have good subjects.
You're good at picking good subjects.
We always have good subjects on Drive Time.
Absolutely.
Indeed. Look, Marty, are you going to sit up and see the fireworks?
It depends. If our seven-month-old is teething, then we'll see how she goes. If she's waking us up, then we'll probably be up for the fireworks.
Well, that's not the sort of way that I had thought that you'd be enjoying the fireworks.
Look, normally I must say that sometimes we do. Sometimes we just head to bed and have a nice early night where we're at that stage of life where we're getting a bit boring now, in our 30s with young kids, and we've got all sorts of other responsibilities, and we want to be healthy in the new year, so why not start by getting a good night's sleep?
And I tell you what, when you've got four young children, I certainly recognise that. I still remember taking my children to some fireworks up in Townsville, and they were probably in there at school, but probably not much beyond that at that stage. And I well remember, of course, being in Townsville. That's an army base, and the helicopters came over with flashing lights, and it had bangs and fireworks and lights and yahooing, and one of my children actually got really frightened about all that was actually going on. And it was a matter of, how can we sort of reduce the impact of this thing on her? But that was one of my experiences. But we've certainly been to the fireworks sufficient times to say, hey, yeah, I know what's going on. I know what's going on.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Let's come to our World Watch. Now, of course, since it's New Year's Eve, I thought I'd come once again to that beautiful Sunny Skies site, Sunny Skies, SKYZ.com. Really beautiful little site, because it talks about some of the good news, some of the really good things that are happening in our world, good things that people do for others. And this article was one that I actually picked it up a couple of weeks ago, but it's in fact it was late November when this originally came out, because it was referring also to Christmas. We've just had the Christmas season. Volunteers send more than 1,000 Christmas cards to seniors who might otherwise receive none. And this is what the article said. Hundreds of seniors across British Columbia, of course, in Canada, will receive handwritten Christmas cards this year as a small gesture that's become a powerful tradition thanks to the compassion of one lady and an army of volunteers. The project began in 2020 when Christina worried about seniors who were isolated during COVID. That first Christmas, she, her husband and a close friend sat down to write cards for a few nearby care homes. The idea was simple, but the impact was huge. It was that first Christmas that everyone was talking about how lonely, especially seniors, would be. Christina said, "I thought we'd write some cards and drop them in, and it's just grown from there." Grew is an understatement. The first year brought in more than 300 cards. 5 years later, the effort has delivered close to 3,000 cards, with nearly 100 volunteers now taking part through the Oceanside Community Church and the surrounding community. This year, Christina originally aimed for around 800 cards, enough to cover about a dozen care homes and palliative care units. But the response overwhelmed even her expectations. "With so much help, it looks like we'll pass the 1,000 mark for the first time," she told Sunny Skies. "That means we can also send cards to several local crisis support, social housing and disability programs. Cards will reach seniors and vulnerable residents right across that part of Canada, including leukemia units and palliative care units. The need is very real." One care home manager recently told her that due to a Canada Post strike, they weren't sure if residents would receive any Christmas cards this year. "At least," she said, "they'll be getting some cards from us. It's so easy. But it's made such a difference." Some even cried because it meant so much that someone out there cared, she said. "I get very excited thinking about people who receive the cards, knowing it might be the only card that they're going to get." Christina, for Christina, honouring the seniors is a personal issue. Do you know, Marty, as I read that particular article, something spoke to me very loudly. You know, the thing I love about that particular act is the fact that it's intentionality. This has got just so much that we could commend in it. And yet, you know, I'm so conscious that once again, this intentionality is something that many community organizations and dozens and dozens and dozens of churches are repetitiously involved in. You know, what do you think that, have you witnessed, first of all, much of this type of giving?
Absolutely. You know, this is something that, once again, like you're saying, you know, many church communities are involved in this. I'm aware of, you know, many groups that even put together care packages that go overseas. We, in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, we have an organization that's called Asian Aid as well. And you know, it's very intentional. Again, it's looking at children who are growing up in poor, developing countries. And it's beautiful that at Christmas time, often it's a time to send an extra special gift, or even just take on another sponsor child, you know, It doesn't cost very much for those of us living in Australia, just a couple dollars a day to sponsor a child. And, you know, and that's something that, it's a beautiful thing to be involved in. There's many different groups that are getting involved. What I love about this is, though, that it's not just something that is, you know, a big organization. Here's just one young lady who's taken the initiative And I think that sometimes we can fall into the mode of thinking that, hey, you know, there's big organizations out there helping people who are struggling. But the reality is that, the ability to support and give and help people, that is something within everyone's reach, because we don't have to look too far to find someone who's in need. I'm sure, you know, there's often people in our neighborhood, in our church community, in our school network or some other place, a workplace that's doing it tough. It might not be financially tough, but some of them, like in this case, these are lonely older folk who are, you know, yeah, especially during COVID, weren't able to have a lot of visitors. And, what a beautiful gesture to be able to actually send them a card. And, in some cases, for it to be the only card that they're going to receive. I just really love this kind of thing.
Look, I think, you know, the thing that I particularly appreciate is that this is outside the institutional framework, as you correctly point out, because, I'm just so conscious that we certainly in the West have had a habit of institutionalizing. You know, a good work is actually done, so we tend to institutionalize it, and suddenly it loses the personal touch. This actually is keeping the personal touch. I will remember when I was the pastor of a larger church here in Adelaide. Actually, midweek we'd actually have a Bible study group for particularly for our senior retirees, and we would get up to 20 plus people along every single week, and we only met during school term, school holidays. A lot of them had things to do with their grandchildren, so we had those as breaks. But for a number of years, this whole gathering, the Bible study, the prayer group, would come together once a week. We'd spend an hour and a half together. We'd do some sharing. We'd spend time in prayer. We'd have a look at the scriptures, and the numbers just kept on growing. But one of the things that really jumped out at me is a little project that one of the ladies was actually involved in. She, for her personal ministry, she would hand make cards, just like what we've been hearing today. She would hand make them, and every week she'd actually bring along two or three handmade cards. And during the program, we would just simply ask them. We would just hand these around to everybody who was at that meeting, and we would, at the beginning of the meeting, we would actually target two or three people, maybe somebody who was sick, maybe somebody who we knew was discouraged, somebody who we knew was going through some challenge in life, and would say, okay, this card is going to Mary Smith. She's currently struggling with the whole issue of cancer. And we'd go around, and just throughout the entire meeting, everyone, 20 to 25 people, would actually write a short message to that individual in the card. And then at the end of the meeting, we'd gather them up, put them in an envelope, and somebody was appointed to deliver it. Sometimes it was myself, but often it wasn't, because what we felt was it was important for someone who was a close friend of that individual to actually deliver it. And they actually loved doing it. It became one of the highlights of that that particular program. Certainly, I know that I've been involved in visitation in in aged care on occasions. And to me, the thing that I've repetitiously seen is that it's so important to actually encourage people, and not just to live their own lives, but also to try to lift up the lives of others. Because if people are involved in have a sickness, if they have, you know, dealing with age, if they're, you know, to be, when they start thinking of lifting up, even if it's only just an encouraging word, it actually lifts them up.
Absolutely. Yeah, this is a beautiful thing. And when people get involved in, you know, I can certainly say from my own experience that, you know, being involved in service type ministry where it's personal, whether you are, visiting and, you know, we used to, as young people, when I was growing up in our youth group at church, we'd go and visit the old folks in the old folks home and listen to their story and have a prayer with them and sing them some songs. And it was just a beautiful experience. It was really good for us as young people too, to, you know, to sort of just listen and be patient and connect with someone who's, yeah, come towards the end of their life. And once again, yeah, being involved in other service-based trips where you go out to remote communities where some of the kids out there are doing it really tough. And, and for them to have, you know, I guess, some older kids come and just spend time with them and mentor them. The hardest thing is going home, of course, after it. But, you know, it's, I think when we can, make serving others just more of a lifestyle, then this is something that is just a tremendous way to live our lives.
Yeah. And look, sometimes people say to me, look, you know, the church is just a service that you run once a week. And that's certainly in the mind of many individuals. But in fact, so many churches are involved in these service projects. And, one of the, you know, people are setting New Year's resolutions right, at this very moment. We've only got a couple of days left of 2025. And 2026 is about to beginning with repetitiously, people are going to be saying, this is what, you know, I want to achieve in the new year. To me, I look at it and say, hey, there is really nothing better than to be able to say, hey, I'd like to get myself involved in a church. Once again, I'd like to get my children involved in a church. To me, that is a resolution, I believe, that would be blessed by God as much as blessing your family.
Absolutely. And to connect and be in that community of faith that is, you know, following the word of God is going to be such a blessing, isn't it?
Yeah.
And to get involved in service projects as well. You know, and like you're saying, Pastor Gary, many churches are in fact involved in serving their community in one way, shape or form.
Yeah. Look, let's come to some music. This is the Collingsworth family and they're singing, I Call Him Lord. And as the new year approaches, I hope that that's indeed what you will want to do, to call Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior of your life. Please enjoy this really, really beautiful, beautiful song. And that was the Collingworth family, and I call him Lord. The Collingworth family really puts out some amazing songs, amazing music, and really appreciate all that they do. Now, folks, look, we do have a giveaway book for you today, and of course, this is our New Year's series. This is the week that 2025 becomes 2026. And we're talking New Year's resolutions all week. And this week, we actually want to give you a book. This one's been written again by Pastor Robbie Bergen. This one's entitled Finding Peace Amidst the Storm. You know, our world right now is a mess. It is really struggling on so many fronts. Governments are struggling. Wars continue to multiply. Everywhere you look, there seem to be people who are disillusioned. But this book is entitled Finding Peace Amidst the Storm. Now, you would be familiar with Pastor Robbie Bergen from his sharing on Faith FM. You would love what this book does actually share. Now, look, if you would like your own copy of Finding Peace Amidst the Storm, then all you need to do is to text us. Now, our studio text number is 0488 80811, 0488 80811, and in that text, put the code SA356. SA for South Australia, no gap, 356, just five digits in a row. And this number will come through to our robot, and our robot will respond to you, ask you just a few questions so that we can get this book to you in the fastest way possible. Please be aware that because it's the Christmas time of the year and some of our staff are actually taking a well-earned break, that it may take an additional week or two for this book to reach you, but it will finally reach you. SA356, and text that to 0488 80811. You'll love this little book by Pastor Robbie Bergen. Now, my friends, you are listening to Faith FM Drive Time, Big Q&A with Pastor Gary. And co-hosting our discussion today is Pastor Marty Thompson. And Marty is an experienced pastor, and he's an evangelist right here in South Oz. And, of course, this week we're in the countdown to that new year. Now, on Monday, we looked at the opportunity that the new year presents for a brand new start. What an opportunity is. So many take advantage of this opportunity by committing themselves to a New Year's resolution. Today we're asking, does the Bible have anything to say about our physical life, about resolutions that might be worth making concerning our physical life? You know, Marty, we living at a time when everyone seems to be making a New Year's resolution. But, you know, I was reading some really interesting stats just the other day. Gym membership right now takes a huge lift. It seems that every second person actually runs off to book up the gym. But those people who actually are regular gym goers, what they do is they slow down and they don't go to the gym at this time of the year because the crowds are too great, because they know if they wait 2 or 3 weeks, the crowds will subside once again. The regulars will come back and the gyms will get back to their regular business. Now, Marty, just tell me something before we do go anywhere. Have you ever made any New Year's resolutions yourself?
Oh, I'm sure I have, you know, yeah, definitely. I think, you know, yeah, I'm not a big person into them, so I can't sort of remember them off the top of my head, but yeah, I'm sure I usually same kind of things, need to exercise more time in prayer and Bible study and these types of things. Yeah, they're pretty typical on my list there.
Yeah. I actually well remember 1 year I got so frustrated with these New Year's resolutions, and I have to admit not having a great deal of success with keeping of them, because generally they amount to my going running and or exercising, that type of thing. And I took this resolution: I will not go running. And I shared this with all my friends. This is my New Year's resolution: I will not go running. And they got a big laugh about it. They mocked me. But the reality is I actually kept that for most of that year, until finally at the end of the year I realized that this wasn't doing me any good at all. And while perhaps I didn't actually need to run, that's when I actually started to take up walking, because I found walking myself far more enjoyable. I'd actually found something, and I was able to maintain that particular. I finally broke that resolution that I will not go running, and replaced it with one concerning walking. And, you know, for 6 or 8 years, I certainly was able to maintain that particular piece of exercise, because it was something that I was actually enjoying being able to be involved
in. Absolutely.
But, Marty, look, you're not here to talk about me at all. We're here to be able to talk about this issue of New Year's resolutions. People are going to make them, but we're talking today particularly about those physical New Year's resolutions. Does the Bible have anything to say about the physical me? I mean, you have done some studies in lifestyle medicine, and really know that this is one of your passion areas.
The Bible is full of counsel to do with our physical health. And we find in 3 John verse 2, the Bible says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers." So the Bible clearly shows us that God not only is interested in our soul prospering, but our health prospering, that is our physical health. You know, throughout the stories of Christ in the Bible, we see him healing many. In fact, Jesus spent more time doing healing type ministry than he did in teaching and preaching. And so we see that Jesus was a great healer. He was a great physician. And it's fascinating that when you see that the word for heal often is the Greek word sozo, and it's often translated to heal, but it can also be translated as to save. And the reality is that God is interested in our whole person, our physical, mental, social, spiritual well-being. When God wants to heal a person, he doesn't just want to heal someone physically, or he doesn't just want to heal them emotionally or mentally, and he doesn't just want to heal them spiritually either. God's ultimate desire is that every aspect of our lives, we would have restoration in every aspect of our lives. Now, not always do we find that we always have physical health, that there's sometimes, you know, situations that take place. But as much as it is possible, we should strive to be in the best physical shape that we can.
Marty, before we move on, do you think there's a connectedness between the various areas of an individual's life, like the, you know, I mean, you've mentioned the physical, the mental, the spiritual, and the social as being various aspects of an individual's life. Does what I do in one area, does that impact what is the, I suppose, the outcomes in other areas?
Yeah, you know, this is very, there's a lot of research that backs this up. There's a lot of studies that show that the relationship between physical health and mental health. And, you know, mental health is very closely connected to spiritual health as well. You know, and as is, social health is connected to our mental health. And so, yeah, the World Health Organization even recognizes not only physical, mental, and social aspects and dimensions of health, but they've of more recent times even recognized the spiritual dimension of health and the health. Yeah, we are whole persons. So what affects me in one area of my life does affect another part of my life. Now, biblically, we see this as well. It's interesting. We see this powerful verse, actually. It's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. And this is the prayer that the apostle Paul really prays. He says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." So here the apostle is really, his prayer is that our whole spirit, soul, and body be in a good state when Jesus comes. So the biblical picture that we have here is that God wants to bless us physically, socially, spiritually, emotionally, physically as well, and spiritually as well. We also find in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it says, "Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." So here the Bible connects simple things like what we eat and what we drink as being spiritual activities. They can actually bring glory to God, or they could bring dishonor to God, obviously, if they were poor choices. And so we recognize that our choices, our lifestyle choices, impact our health. And when we use the word health, this is holistic health. Mm-hmm. Our lifestyle choices, what we eat, what we drink, how we, you know, our level of physical activity, all of these things will have a bearing on our spiritual health as well as our physical health.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. I start to see where you're actually coming from here, but look, just tell me something. I noticed that, the apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians actually talks, chapter 3 says this, and just open this out a little bit for me. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Do you not know that you are the temple of God? What exactly is Paul trying to get at here?
Well, he says something very, very similar in chapter 6. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And also in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, he says once again, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you?" And then he goes on to say, "You were bought at a price," that he says, "therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which belong to God." So the apostle Paul tells us the reason why he's describing our bodies as a holy temple. He says, "Therefore, because you are a temple of God, because the Spirit of God dwells in you, therefore glorify God." And we just read what it means to glorify God, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do. In other words, in your lifestyle practices, glorify God, not just in your mind, but in your body as well, the Bible says. So I think if you look at a physical temple, you know, if you think of a beautiful church or a beautiful temple, I think of some of the beautiful mosques that I've visited, you know, beautiful cathedrals that I've seen. You know, these are beautiful places. And anyone who would, you know, put graffiti or bring trash, you know, garbage into such a beautiful structure would be frowned upon, and it would be seen as absurd to do such a terrible thing. And yet the Bible is saying, no, your physical human organism, your body is an incredible temple. It's a place where God wants to dwell and commune with you. And therefore, you should keep it in the best possible condition. You should look after it. I liken this as well to, you know, if somebody were to give you, you know, the keys to a brand new car, and you were to say, wow, this is really, is this for me? This is for you. It's a brand new car. Maybe it's a brand new Toyota or something that's, you know, quite nice. And you think, wow, this is a fantastic car. Now, if you're being given the keys to a brand new car, you're obviously going to want to look after that car. You're going to want to put good fuel in it, good oil in it. You're going to have it serviced regularly. You're going to look after that car. You're going to clean it regularly. Now, God has given us the keys of health. He's given us a body. The Bible says you are not your own. You are bought at a price. God has bought us. We belong to him. And yet he says, I'm going to give you the keys to make the choices of what you do with your health. And if it's important to look after a brand new car, how much more important would it be to look after our bodies? I mean, you can replace a car. You can't replace your body. You only get one go at it. So I think that the Bible is sort of painting this picture by calling our bodies the temple of God. It's saying that we are sacred, that we are, that God wants to have a connection with us, and the kinds of things that we put in our bodies and the kinds of things that we do with our bodies is very important.
This is actually an incredibly high view of humanity because, of course, within the Word of God, what we actually have is a picture of man being created by the infinite God. We are pictured as a children of the infinite God. You know, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he does appear, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. You know, the Apostle Peter says that we are a kingdom of priests, we are heirs, we are ambassadors to the King above. The description of humanity as a result of creation to me is incredibly powerful. But here, this goes one step further, and it says it's not just because you were created in the image of God; it's because you were recreated and have accepted Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit wants to live in you, therefore, you are to be special. Therefore, your body is regarded as the temple of God. Now, you know, one of the things that really jumps out at me, you know, sometimes I've heard, you know, people running and saying, you know, my body, my choice. And, you know, sometimes I've even heard Christians saying exactly the same thing. Whereas, in fact, if I go to the Word of God, what it's saying is that my body actually belongs to Jesus Christ. So it's not just a matter of my choice. It's my choice being informed by the better principles that are revealed in the Word of God. Because God wants something very special for me.
Absolutely. You know, and if we go back to the car illustration, you know, you often, if you want to know how to take care of the car, you might look at the manual, or you might talk to a mechanic who, you know, who knows a great deal about that vehicle. In the similar way, God has given us the Bible, and I like what someone once called the Bible. They called it the basic instructions before leaving Earth. I like that acronym, B-I-B-L-E, basic instructions before leaving Earth. The basic instructions that God shows us the best way to live in the Bible. And it's actually no coincidence that throughout time we've noticed that people groups that actually follow the health laws in the Bible live longer and have less tendency to have disease. And so this is what God actually wants for us as his children. And I think as a parent, you know, when it comes to the topic of health, this is a subject that every parent, you know, they want their kids to be healthy. They look at the packets of food, hopefully, and go, oh, you know, okay, good. This doesn't have artificial colors and flavors, and, you know, this isn't too high sugar or whatever else. And we want to feed our kids healthy food because we want our kids to be healthy. Mm. We want them to grow up strong. We want them to be able to reach their potential. And so wouldn't it make sense that if a human parent who is far from perfect wants the best for their children and wants their children to be healthy, that our Heavenly Father, who in fact is perfect and is holy, wants the best for us. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we discover in the Bible, and we discover various counsel and even commands in the Bible that actually show us how we can live a more healthy lifestyle.
And Marty, what we're going to do is we might come to some music first, because I'm really conscious we are starting to get towards that time in the hour. But when we come back, I'd really like you to dig into these issues of, you know, what are some, I suppose, some New Year's resolutions that I could take that might be supported by the word of God? Because myself, I mean, some time ago, I became convicted that it's actually possible, and I appreciate your feedback on this. Is it possible to become an unhealthy vegetarian? Because certainly I became convicted way back some time ago that while I was a vegetarian, I was functioning as an unhealthy vegetarian. Sure. And I'd love to get your comment on that straight after with some, you know, maybe some resolutions people should consider. But folks, look, let's come to some music. This is the Cinzio family, and they're singing The Lord is My Shepherd, and I want for nothing, because indeed He is the one that is leading me. And that's exactly what we want for you in this brand new year. Please enjoy the Cinzio family.
The Lord is my shepherd, I want for nothing.
I want for now.
be with my Lord.
And that's Ascensio Family, and the Lord is my shepherd and I want for nothing. A really beautiful song there. Now, folks, look, we do have for you a really beautiful giveaway today. And this giveaway is entitled Finding Peace Amidst the Storm. And this was written by Pastor Robbie Bergen. And you'd remember Pastor Robbie from his sharing on Faith FM, the Faith Experiment. Same person. This includes some wonderful stories, illustrations, Finding Peace Amidst the Storm. If you would like your own copy of this book, then all you need to do is to text us at 04888 11 04 888 11, and the code that you need to put in there is SA356. That's SA for South Australia, 356. And just five digits in a row, that'll come through to our robot. Our robot will ask you just a few questions, and then we'll be able to get this to you in the fastest way possible. You'll love this little book. Now, my friends, you are listening to Faith FM Drive Time, Big Q&A with Pastor Gary, and we're co-hosting today is Pastor Marty Thompson, and of course this week we're in the countdown to a brand new year. Just two more sleeps to go. Now, Marty, really appreciate everything that you've been sharing to this point in time. Now, I left you with a couple of questions before our break. Now, tell me something. Certainly, I mean, my conviction some time ago was that at that time, and I had to make some significant adjustments to my life at that particular point in time. But the conviction that I had was that it's possible to live your life as an unhealthy vegetarian. How would you actually respond to that?
Yeah, I think that that's very, very, very true. I mean, there's a plenty of things that are vegetarian that are not healthy. So I suppose when we look at God's original diet for humanity, it was a vegetarian diet, because the Bible describes in the book of Genesis, God says, "See, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food." And so, and then he also says, I've given every green herb for food. So, you know, so this is the thing. God is actually given us a plant-based diet in the original diet plan in the Garden of Eden. Now, many people, there's a lot of research now that basically demonstrates that a whole food plant-based diet is the way to go.
So my sugar that I was taking really isn't a problem too much then?
Well, you know, like anything though, we have to, I use the word whole food plant-based diet. So sugar, unfortunately, is not a whole food. It's actually refined food, and it's stripped of most of its nutrients. And of course, eating a high sugar diet is associated with increased risk of things like obesity, diabetes, and even cardiovascular disease. Diabetes, which is interesting. It's been noticed that there's a very strong link between diabetes and depression. Some people have even called it diapression, because they often go hand in hand. So I would say that one of the New Year's resolutions that I think many people could, you know, would do well to consider is trying to reduce things like salt, sugar, saturated fats, and increase the amounts of fruits, veggies, whole grains, and nuts and seeds and legumes. You know, the more of those kinds of foods that we're going to eat, the better we're going to feel. And I would say the best thing is just to get yourself a really good recipe book, or follow someone on Facebook or Instagram who's really doing some good work in this space. There's plenty of good resources that are out there. Even if you join a Seventh-day Adventist church, I guarantee your health will improve. And, in fact, I remember one gentleman, I remember him coming to our church in Kempsey when I lived in Kempsey. And he was telling me how he was going to the doctor, you know, and how the doctor on one occasion said, look, your blood levels are looking really good. This is the best I've ever seen them. And he said, what have you done differently? And he said, well, I've been going to the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And the doctor said, oh, well, that will explain it. Because the doctor was well aware that Seventh-day Adventists actually have been found from research to actually live up to 10 years longer than the average population. And that is largely, or, well, it is entirely because of lifestyle practices. In fact, while we're talking about this, it was actually the famous Adventist Health Study in 2001 that identified being physically active as one of the five key lifestyle choices for increasing your lifespan. The research found that being physically active, not smoking, eating nuts regularly, being vegetarian, and maintaining healthy body weight could add as many as 10 years to your life. And by the way, those are quality years. And boy, oh boy, this is amazing stuff. And I tell you, like I said, there's heaps of research out there. There's plenty of good books out there. So, you know, I think what I've experienced, Pastor Gary, is the more I've researched it, the more convicted I've become. And I think that that's true for most of us. If you make a decision just based on sort of, you know, someone else's opinion, you're not going to be as convinced. But if you pick up some research yourself and you start to look into it, maybe get yourself a copy of the Blue Zones book by Dan Buettner, or grab a copy of Dr. Darren Morton's book called Live More Happy. There's a great, the world's best cookbook, the voted the world's best cookbook is called Food as Medicine by Dr. Sue Rad. And she happens to be a Seventh-day Adventist health practitioner located in Sydney. And so
I know it's a bit late now, but these could have made excellent
Christmas gifts. Absolutely. It's not too late.
It's not too late. New Year's gifts, perhaps.
Maybe you can get them on a discount as well this time of year. Who knows? But I honestly, that is certainly my advice. I think when it comes to making changes, I think it's good to do it in a group. I think it's difficult to sometimes have the motivation just to do it by yourself. And that's why I say something as simple as actually connecting in with the Seventh-day Adventist church community, or maybe not a church community. Maybe there is a renowned doctor in your community, or a walking group in your community. Just connecting with a group can actually really help boost the motivation. And I think this is one reason, Pastor Gary, you mentioned before that lots of people head to the gym, because it's a social thing too. There's people there and they go, oh, this is great. You know, I feel motivated. Yeah, but you can save yourself some money and some time, because most of the, you know, health lifestyle changes can happen right in your home. You can be walking around your neighborhood. I see you out walking sometimes, Pastor Gary. That's something
it's something, you know, that it took me a long time to actually pick up because for many years, as I said, I used to take New Year's resolutions that I'll go running every day. And when I was younger, you know, I'd go out, I'd pound the pavement. It would last for maybe 4 or 5 days. But 4 or 5 days later, I found that, that's all too hard. And
body was hurting.
I found I wasn't actually enjoying doing what I was doing. But, you know, what I found was simply by slowing down the pace and going out walking, walking was something that I found I could enjoy. And the reason I could enjoy it was because my mind could be active and I could actually be working through issues that I was dealing with, and the endorphins were starting to flow. And I found walking to be far more rewarding than trying to run.
This is great. And you know what? There's plenty of research on this as well that has actually found in 2020, there was a research paper that found that taking more steps each day was associated with reduced mortality.
Yeah.
And the intensity of the steps didn't seem to be the most crucial thing, as long as you just kept moving. And one of the things that I should do is I used to have a Fitbit, and it counts your steps, and the band broke on it, and because I tend to just buy stuff that's a bit more affordable. I'm not getting the latest gadgets. Yeah. And so you can't even get the band anymore. So you have to go on the internet to buy an old, model band. But that's one thing I need to get onto, because I actually found that when I was wearing the Fitbit and I was taking notice of how many steps I was taking each day, that was a good motivation. Some days I look in the afternoon, oh man, I've only done 3,000 steps. And so it was motivation to say, hey, I need to get out there, get out and do some walking, do some, maybe some light jogging or something. Get those steps up. Yeah. If you can get up to 10,000 steps per day, you are on a winning, a wicket. You're kicking some goals. If you can do 10,000 steps per day, that is a real win.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I'm amazed the impact that certainly regular exercise certainly had on my health, because I know for many years I had back problems. I'm a very tall fellow, and starting walking, and they just disappeared on me overnight.
That's amazing.
There were other issues that were coming up, and I found almost within about 2 weeks of starting regular exercise that many of the issues I'd been struggling with magically seemed to disappear. And I'm not saying that that's going to be the magic fix at all, but certainly I started to understand why certainly my doctor had been saying to me, you need to get into a regular exercise
program. This is one of the most crucial things, and it's actually, if you can get yourself into an exercise program, if you can join a community group or even a Seventh-day Adventist church that has an emphasis on health, I think you're going to find that in the new year, you're going to feel better. You're going to enjoy more health, and that's going to be God's blessing in your life.
So true. Marty, I'm conscious that we have come to the top of the hour. It does look like our time's up for today. Thank you so much for joining Pastor Gary, Pastor Marty Thompson on Drive Time Big Q&A. Please join us tomorrow when I'll be sharing with Pastor David Butcher, and we're going to be chatting about the issue of a better family life. Some resolutions are worthy in that area. Really look forward to joining you again. But until then, please remember Christ said, I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart, and the peace I give isn't like the peace that the world gives. So don't be troubled or afraid. May our God abundantly bless you.